You in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this last Lord's Day of the first month of 1999. How swiftly the month has gone by, and our children have been in school for 5 weeks already, and very soon they'll be entering into February, and in 2 weeks' time, it will be Chinese New Year. And as you know, this morning's weekly, we have inserted in your weekly a little red packet, hoping that you may use this and give it to someone who need to know about what it means to be blessed in the real sense of the word blessed as used in the scriptures. This morning, the topic is to regard faces in judgment. Simply stated, this phrase, to regard faces in judgment, means to live a very prejudiced life. We live in a society where the externals have become very, very important. We have radio programs, we have television programs, we have books written on how we need to dress in order to impose our authority and our influence on people around us, to change them. And so because of this emphasis, many of us have been affected by the externals, how we look. A few days back, I was listening to the radio, and this lady, who is supposed to be a very specialist, an expert on dressing, on color. And so she was saying that if you are an executive, you ought to dress in a white shirt, because white shirt is supposed to exert some kind of an authority. It's a statement that you would have. And so when you look at many of these executives, they do wear white shirt. And if you are a business executive traveling from country to country, you must wear one of these expensive suits to give you confidence. And people will look at you and know and maybe say that you are a successful man. And so the externals is very, very strongly emphasized and encouraged in the world that we live in. Andrew Bonar once remarked that when he was looking for the church, he found it in the world. When he looked for the world, he found it in the church. In this chapter of James, chapter 2, that problem, which is very prevalent in our world today, was also prevalent in the days of James, in the days of the apostles of Christ, where people will look at the external. To regard faces in judgment would encompass all kinds of prejudice that you and I would have. Some people may regard people based upon the different color of their skin, and therefore what they say, what they do, what they are, we may give them special preferences. In the past, in colonial times, there are certain places that are reserved only for those who have a particular skin color. In South Africa, we know the term apartheid very well. The world is against such prejudice. What are the kinds of prejudices that we practice? In this chapter, it speaks of gay apparel, goodly apparel, those who wear expensive clothes, put on expensive jewelry. In our time, it will be the same. And they drive expensive cars. They live in big mansions. And sometimes, without really being conscious of it, because it has become so part and parcel of our nature. 7 days of the week, out of these 7 days, 6 days, we immerse ourselves in the things of the world. And sometimes it is very hard not to be affected by the things of the world. And so these people come into our church, they visit our homes, and we treat them with preferential treatments. And as Christians, it was quite prevalent in the days of James. There were certain places in the homes of the Jews whereby they were considered as important places, like sitting on the right hand or the left hand of the host. That was exactly what the mother of James and John asked the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come again, let my son sit on your right, the other sit on your left. These were positions of importance, of authority. And so when a rich man comes into your home, you will ask him straight away, please come, sit on my right, or come, sit on my left, because of his gay apparel, his goodly garments. When someone comes in dressed like a beggar, you look around and you find that, well, one or two seats left in case my neighbor may come over. But since you are here, you stand by the corner there. If my neighbors do not turn up, then maybe you can sit. But if you do sit, you have to sit way down below near my footstool. That was the problem. Footstool is a place of humility where the host would rest his feet. Are we people like that? What is wrong with regarding faces in judgment? Two reasons given to us in this first 13 verses of chapter 2. The first reason God gave to us is to regard faces in judgment is alien to our Christian faith. If you say that you have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, my brethren, please realize that the Lord of glory will not respect persons in judgment. If you say that you have the faith that is of God, you must therefore realize that God never respects persons in judgment. And it is a very, very scary thing if God respects persons in judgment. Supposing God would look at people who are millionaires and above and say that, well, only certain kind of sins that you guys commit, I will judge. The rest of the sins that you commit, never mind, because you are rich. How would you feel? How would I feel? If our God is like that, he respects persons in judgment. Or he says, well, you have given so much money to build hospitals and schools and you have done so many good works. Your sins will not be as filthy rags because of your good works. I will give you special treatment on the judgment day. How would you feel? We won't like it, would we? We won't like it because if we find this in our home, if your mom or your dad treat your brother or your sister differently than they would treat you, you tell a lie, they spank you, they will put you on house arrest. No going out with friends for 1 month. If your sister or your brother tell a lie, why? What happened? What caused you to tell the lie? Oh, never mind. It's all right. Please don't do it again. Everything is all right. How would you feel? You get very upset, very angry, isn't it? You would shout, this is not fair. Thank God that God is not like that. And so the Bible says on this basis, if you say that you have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, then to have respect of persons is alien to this kind of faith. It must not be. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, dirty, unkempt garments. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there or sit there under my footstool. Humiliate the person, to make sure that you are a nobody, you stay a nobody. And you are a rich man, you sit right here with me because I need to rub off some of your wealth and maybe I will get something out of you. Why do people have respect of persons in judgment? I would like to propose three reasons based upon this first heading that to respect persons in judgment is alien to our faith. Three reasons why people respect persons in judgment. Like in all other commandments of God, it must begin from the top. The leaders, and in our case, in homes, parents. If we respect persons in judgment, please don't be surprised if our sons and our daughters in school would also respect persons in judgment. Friends who come in designer bags, our children will treat differently because we treat our friends the same way, and they will pick up such habits from us. You'll find that firstly in Deuteronomy 1:17, this teaching. In Deuteronomy 1:17, Moses was relating the second giving of the law. And in his writings, he focused his attention right from the onset upon the leaders. Moses, at first, had to make all the judgments alone by himself of over 2 million people. And the people were queuing up in long lines just to meet with Moses. And Moses was completely exhausted. And the people just stood there the entire day just to meet with Moses. And Moses' father-in-law came and made a very acute observation. And he said, Moses, you cannot go on like this. You must appoint for yourselves men who will look after thousands, hundreds, fifties. And then you will let these leaders look after the smaller groups. And if there are bigger problems they cannot resolve, then you bring them to meet with you. Otherwise, you must have these leaders to help you. And so, leaders were selected. Criteria were made up by God, by Moses. And one of these criteria you'll find in Deuteronomy 1:17. In order for that leader to be a godly, goodly leader, whereby the society, the people that they look after, will not despise the authority, where they will be happy to receive their instruction and their judgment, because as leaders, you have to make judgments. This was one of the criteria. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. You must treat everyone the same. If he is your friend, your buddy, and he has been charged by this low farmer, poor farmer, that he has been abused by this farmer, you must treat this case equally, fairly. Whether he is your friend, your buddy, rich or poor, you must treat everyone the same. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. This is one of the problems, isn't it? Fear of man. A person who respects faces in judgment is someone who is afraid of man. And this is one of the greatest problems that leaders must bear in mind. Because it is very easy for leaders to fall prey to this sin. They look at people and they fear, because we live in a society where we look up to people who are above us, our bosses. And when they do certain things, we say that, well, because my boss did it, it is all right. When my underling did the same thing, we jump on that person. And sometimes I ask myself that question. If so-and-so did this, this person I respect very highly did this thing, probably I would not get upset, I would not get angry. But if my wife, my friend, did this same thing whom I do not have the same kind of awe, I get upset very easily. And so I ask myself the question, why? Why? Husbands, do you do that? If your boss is late for a meeting, would you get angry with him? Or you say, never mind, never mind, it's all right. If your wife is late giving you your meal, what would you say? We get upset. We get stressed out. We blame the wife. Do we do that? Our sons and our daughters, sometimes we treat them differently when we treat our children as compared to the children of other people. You may say that, well, it is my own children. Really? What about brothers and sisters and friends? Is it true in our lives whereby our tolerance with our friends is much, much longer as compared to our tolerance with our brothers and our sisters? Friends, we have to keep. Brothers and sisters, no matter how we behave, we cannot lose. They will still be my brother, my sister. Is that our attitude? You see, how we look at relationship, we make different judgments. Why? Sometimes because of fear. We fear man. We want something from them. And that is the second reason why people respect faces in judgment. Deuteronomy 16:19. You find the same phrase that is used. Deuteronomy 16:19. Where we are told. Deuteronomy 16:19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Fear of the man, because we want something from the man. That's why we pervert our judgment, because of gifts, because of filthy lucre. How sad, isn't it, that as Christians, we have perverted our testimony because we wanted something from different people, from certain people. And we sin against God. Another reason, the third reason, Proverbs 24, 23 and 24. Proverbs 24, 23 and 24. Where it says, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. See, these people will destroy the confidence that the nation, the congregation would have on you. Your children will despise you if you are prejudiced in your judgment. These are the reasons. To support this, you can also turn to Proverbs 28, verse 21. To respect persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. Are we people like that? The Bible says, as Christians, if we say that we have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we cannot be like that. It is sinful. It is hateful in the eyes of God, and God gave us the reason why. Verse 4 of James chapter 2. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Your own conscience, in other words, must condemn us if we have this prejudice in our lives. We take people for granted. Because of self-interest, self-preservation, we have our decisions all colored. And sometimes it becomes so part and parcel of our lives that we have forgotten that this is not so. That as Christians, we have to realize that God is no respecter of persons, and we must make equal and fair judgments in all situations. And sometimes it is very hard. And the Bible says, as believers, our conscience must convict us. Hearken, listen, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? In other words, majority of those who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ at that point in time were poor people. Because when you are poor and destitute, you long to look at your own lives. It is not that the poor people are easier to save in that sense. But because of the external circumstances that they are in, they are more predisposed to hear the gospel. But with regard to the rich, do we not remember what Jesus said? That it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, the small little pinhole in the needle, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why is that so? Because wealth will bring with it pride and power and all forms of prejudice. And because this sinful nature of ours is attracted to wealth. And so it makes it very hard for rich people to hear the gospel. Because of their wealth, they are not predisposed to see any need concerning their eternal life, eternal destiny. Maybe when they are stricken with cancer or they are at the tail end of their life, then they will realize that wealth will be entirely to them one big vanity. But until then, we have heard of cases after cases where rich people have been shared with the gospel. And they will say that if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are certain things that I have done in my business that I cannot give up. And so they will not accept Christ as their savior. They know that they have to change and they do not want to change. Now, please understand that we are not saying that it is wrong to be rich. There is nothing wrong with being wealthy. Abraham was a very rich man. So were his son and his grandson. David was a very, very rich king. Likewise, Solomon. There is nothing wrong with being rich. There are many, many rich people who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But God is telling us on a very big and general scale, you'll realize that the poor people, they would want to hear the gospel much more than the rich people. And furthermore, the Bible here tells us in verse 6, but ye have despised the poor, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? The rich people were those in authority who had oppressed the poor at that time. They were the ones who will their prejudices in all their judgments. When it comes to friends, they would color their judgments. When it comes to these Christians, they would persecute them. They would undermine their authority. Remember, James was a book written to Jewish Christians who have been displaced from their home. They were the diaspora. And these are the people who have inflicted you with all kinds of injustice and persecution, and now you give them preferential treatment? God says, this must not be so. The poor, they are just as rich as the rich because of the salvation that they have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these rich people, they may be rich in material things, but if they are not born again, they are not rich in the true sense of the word. God saved both the poor and the rich because Jesus says, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. There are many millionaires who have been converted by the grace and mercies of God. God has saved many, many of them. You can read their testimonies. People like Colgate, the one who invented the Colgate toothpaste. These are believers who gave large amounts of material wealth to the cause of Christ. But by and large, the people in the days of James have allowed their minds and their eyes to be colored by the goodly apparel and the gold rings of the people around them in society. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? They are your persecutors. They blaspheme the name of Christ. And yet you treat them differently, specially. How can that be so? This is not the faith of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is no respecter of persons. And we too must not respect persons in our judgment. The second reason is found in verse 8 to verse 13. That to respect persons in judgment is a heinous sin. It is a terrible, terrible sin. Verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. When Jesus was on earth, Jesus was asked, what was the greatest commandment? Now, the Jews believed that there were 613 commandments in the Old Testament. And the Jews at that time, in the days of the Lord, have always debated among themselves which was the greatest out of all these 613. And they couldn't agree on which was the greatest. And so this was supposed to be a trick question that they gave the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, answered in this manner. The greatest commandment is to love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. And in these two commandments, Jesus said, hang all the laws. That means the 10 commandments, which is a summary of all the 613 commandments, can be summed up in these two commandments. And these two commandments, in reality, is only one commandment, because the second is like unto the first. And if you look at these two commandments given by the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll realize that the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, is a summary of the first four of the 10 commandments in Exodus chapter 20, our relationship with God. And from the sixth commandment downwards, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, it is a summary of this commandment, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. And so in relation to what James is saying in verse 8, he is saying that this is called a royal law, whereby we are told to love our neighbor as ourselves. And therefore, we cannot pick and choose who our neighbors ought to be. All men are our neighbors without exception, regardless of race, language, or religion. We are told to treat all men the same, to the best of our ability. Sometimes our colonial mindset may affect our decision. Sometimes because of our prejudice according to the color of a person's skin. Sometimes because of our self-interest, we want something from certain people, we treat these people differently. Sometimes because of the way that we have been predisposed according to our past, we have been affected. But God says, nonetheless, whatever excuses, so long as we respect persons in judgment, we have broken God's command. And he says, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin. No two ways about it. It is sinful. No excuse will God accept. Because as Christians, we must treat everyone fairly, equally. And are convinced of the law, convicted by God's law, that we are transgressors. We have broken God's commandment. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of breaking all 10. Please do not think and believe anyone who tells you that if you break 3 of God's 10 commandments, then you can lose your salvation. Then you are a sinner. The Bible here says, so long as you break one. You may say that I have kept all 9. If you break one, it's as good as breaking all 10. God is not giving us 10 commandments, majority wins. It must be 100 upon 100 to pass this kind of exam. We cannot pick and choose and say some sins are not so important, other sins are more important. This prejudice that we have, it is a very, very heinous, despicable sin in the eyes of God. And God says, if we break this commandment, we are as good as breaking all 10. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. If we hate someone, the Bible says, we have murdered. You think prejudice is not hatred? It is a form of hatred, isn't it? We look down on that person and we think we are better than the other person. And we colored our judgment against such people. And God says, we will have to pay for our sin. So speak ye, and so do, as they shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. In other words, when we stand before God, please realize this one very important truth, brothers and sisters, friends. When God judge us, he will strip us of all our earthly status. He will strip us of all our positions on this earth, all our degrees, everything will count for naught on the day of judgment. And God will use his scale, his yardstick, and he will judge us fairly, equally, all of us without exception. Whether you are a lowly road sweeper in man's eye, or you may be the crown prince of a particular country or a king or a president, God will use the same yardstick, the same scale to judge your sins and my sins with no iota or jot of prejudice in whatever decision that he has to make. And this is precisely what God is warning us. And if we think that as children of the living God, God will judge us differently and say, your prejudice in God's eyes, never mind, it's not important. We have to realize that it is sinful, very, very sinful. Is there someone in your life that you have treated differently because of a particular prejudice, because of skin color? Ask God to forgive. It is a terrible, terrible sin to hold this prejudice in our hearts. Well, some people do not like whites. Some people do not like the Japanese because of the Second World War experience. Some people do not like blacks. What excuse can we give? If we are truly born again, cleansed by the blood of Christ, and if God says that the faith that I have given to you is not like that, because I am not like that, God says, how can we who say that we are Christians have this prejudice in our judgment? Please bear in mind that this will be passed on to our sons and our daughters, this particular sin. And you want your sons and your daughters to have this sin in their thinking and in their behavior when they mix around in schools? See, sometimes we have this prejudice so deeply rooted in us that we are very fearful that our children may marry outside of our race, our skin color, isn't it? We are very fearful. So when they go overseas, we tell them, well, whatever it is, you study hard, but make sure you do not bring home this, and this kind of boyfriend or girlfriend. True, we say that to our children. We are so prejudiced. Why? We fail to ask them, please make sure that the person is a Christian. Must be a biblical Christian, must be a God-honoring Christian, and not a charismatic or neo-evangelical or whatever. Instead of telling them all these criteria for choosing a life partner, we tell them, please don't choose someone of this skin color. You see how prejudiced we are? Why? Where do we think we learn this from? Could it be our parents? Pass it down? Books we read? Why? Why are we like this? This is a sin. Please do not treat this lightly. Especially leaders, especially parents. God has made it very plain and clear. First, it is not part and parcel of our makeup as Christians. Secondly, it is a transgression of God's law. A very serious transgression. We commit sin. God is very plain and clear in this regard. And as children of the living God, should we not be more like our Savior, our Heavenly Father, who shows no prejudice toward anyone at all? May God help us as we consider and regard in our own lives whether we are people who will regard faces in judgment, especially the leaders. Please, be very, very careful of how we conduct ourselves. And sometimes it can be very hard. When we have new friends, how we introduce new friends can show whether we are people who regard faces in judgment. Simple thing like that. When you stand up here, do we do that? It is very hard, I agree, to be fair in all that we do. Sometimes when I'm told that so-and-so is in hospital, do I go to visit? I visit as and when I can. And then sometimes so-and-so is in hospital and I do not visit. Will they charge me with being prejudiced in my judgment? So what do I do? Well, one way to get out of it is don't visit anyone in hospital, right? That way I won't be charged with being prejudiced toward anyone. And yet, if I go, I must go to everyone. But sometimes I can't because of the nature of the ministry. Not that I do not want to, I'm not able to go. And so would that person think that, well, you go to this person when the person is sick, when I'm sick, you don't go? It's very hard, I know. So I ask myself this question time and time again, how to be fair and treat everyone equally, the same. And sometimes I ask myself, all of you have friends, personal friends, friends whom you can share certain things with, friends who you will share only general things, not personal things. Can I also have friends? And if I have friends, so I will also have my close friends and then my not so close friends and then my acquaintances. Now, if I have this different circles of friends, will I be charged with showing preferential treatment? See, I ask myself all these questions. And sometimes I understand it is hard. And then at home, the same thing. How to treat children? Do I treat them fairly, equally? When my oldest did something wrong, do I over-punish her? And when my son does something wrong, I treat him differently because son is supposed to be special. All these things I ask myself, and it is hard. Keep on asking time and time again. Well, my second one asked me once, when Zach did something wrong, you didn't punish him. When I do something wrong, you punish me. And it is hard. They notice, our children, whether we respect faces in judgment. For whatever reasons, we have to stop making excuses and we have to examine ourselves and realize that it is not according to our Christian faith because our God is not like that. Remember that when we respect persons in judgment, it is most likely for a selfish motive. And we may pass this down to our children, and they will pass it down to their children as well. Secondly, we break God's law. And it is a serious thing to sin against God when we allow our judgment to be colored by our prejudices, whatever it is. Treat everyone the same. Treat everyone as your neighbor. Love your neighbor regardless of who that person is. Help as and when you can. And sometimes if you are misunderstood, explain to the best of your ability and then in the end say, I'm sorry. What else can we do? We try. And God knows your heart. God knows my heart. And may God make us a church that will be able to fulfill this. Do not respect persons in judgment in our dealings one with another, ensuring that we do not get any personal gain out of our prejudices, because it is sinful. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee with our hearts opened and bare, acknowledging, O Lord, that sometimes it is very hard living in this wicked world to be not like the world. Forgive us, Father, for the many times when we have allowed our prejudices to affect our decisions and our judgments toward our loved ones, especially people who are dearest and closest to us. We have hurt them the most. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou will help us from henceforth to know that indeed it is a privilege to be called Christians. And Thou who has given to us the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who himself is no respecter of persons, may we too, likewise, be like him in our judgment, in our relationship with all people. May we treat them equally and fairly, because our Lord is like that. And we pray, O Lord, that you will put the fear of God in our hearts to help us realize that we can make no excuses to numb our conscience, which has been made alive by Thy Holy Spirit, that we will realize that all prejudices, in what form it may be, is a breaking of Thy commandment, and it is sinful in Thy sight. Help us therefore, O Lord, a people in this church, to be a people who will long and thirst after Thy truth and Thy righteousness, that we may regard others, all people, as our neighbor, and that we may learn to love them as our neighbor, as we learn to love ourselves in the process. Be merciful, O Lord, to thy people in this church, that we may indeed be people who will bring glory and honor to the name of our Savior, not only in our talk, but more so in our walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.